Okay, so we learned the malacha of lush. More or less, we didn't get into all the details. It's mamish, not easy. The Gemara then has a line, Amarav Papa Shavak Tana Didan Bishol Samamanim Dehevav Mishka Benakat Aifeh. How come when the Mishnah, and I'll teach you a Yiddish word, when the Mishnah rechens ice, it means when the Mishnah calculates, counts, the 39 malachos, so it has halush v'ha ofeh, how come ofeh is in the Mishnah rather than bishol? Bishol was on the samimanim. So the answer is Tana didan sidura depas nagat. That the Tana is basically giving us sidura depas. The pashtus in this Gemara, I think, is that ofeh is bishol of pas, and there is no difference between ofeh and bishol. They're just a difference in the chefza. Much like we saw in the Rambam, that the Rambam says that you violate the malach of kotzer, whether you're picking grapes or olives or figs. Even though in Lashon Kodesh there is a different Hebrew word for each of those, no, mosaik and oreh, etc. But nonetheless, they're all one malacha. The pashtus is that bishol and ofeh are exactly the same malacha. And the Tana decides to give us the sequence of sidura de pas, meaning that we're going in the order of how you produce bread. And therefore, we use the lashon of ofeh rather than bishol, but they are exactly the same. Vayter in the Gemara. Amar Rav Acha bar Reb Avira, Haiman de Shad Sichta La'atuna Chayiv Mishum Mevashel. If a person throws a sichta, what's a sichta? What? A peg, a twig. That's what Rashi learns. How else could you learn?
The Rif says it's
glali behema, or it is some sort of unbaked pottery, which we call greenware, for those of you who are interested in making pottery. I grew up with this, no? I grew up with a kiln in the basement. When my father married my mother, he had no money. So he told my mother, I can't get you an engagement ring, but he made her a ring. He had like a kiln and he made her a ring. It's like, they then broke at some point, but whatever. But we used to do ceramics at home. That was like the fun activity. According to the Rif, a sichta is basically that you're putting greenware into, or you're putting dirt into the kiln, and you're making pottery. That's what sichta la'atuna is, according to the Rif. The Rambam learns like the Rif. The Rabbeinu Chananel on our Gemara has both Perushim. Rabbeinu Chananel says sichta could mean a peg, or sichta could mean a peg being wood, or sichta could mean some pottery. Okay, but be it as it may, if a person throws sichta into a furnace, that is considered mevashel. Zok the Gemara pshita, that's obvious. The Gemara answers, "Mahu de tema l'shurim mana kamechaven kamashul ademir farafi v'hadar kamet." I would have thought that the kavana was to just harden the keli, to harden the stick, or to harden the pottery, because it was like moist and wet, and you're hardening it. Kamashmalan, that first it gets softer, and then it gets harder. And therefore, there is a malacha of mevashel on this pottery. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, tells me that there is a malacha of mevashel on pottery, gevaldik. Now, the Rishonim are all bothered by Akasha, that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, on Lamed Ches, seems to contradict this. The Gemara Avodah Zarah says that there is no iser of bishul akum. Let's say you have, in a case as follows, let's say you have a Jew who has a pumpkin that's at the bottom of the oven, and the oven is not burning, it's off. And the guy comes and the guy throws a twig into the oven. So in that situation, there's no bishul akel. Why? Because the guy's kavana is only to harden the twig, not to cook. Since the guy doesn't have kavana to cook, it's not bishul akel. So all the Rishonim jump up and down, they spit water nickels, and they ask Akasha, they say, how come our Gemara assumes that your kavana is not to harden the keli? When the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that there's no Isser Bishul Akum because your kavana is to harden the keli. And this is the kasha that all the Rishonim ask. And I would say that some of the Rishonim answer the question, and some of the Rishonim say something that's really hard to understand what they are getting at. Who wants to tell me what Tosfos says? That's the hardest one. What does Tosfos say?
Which one?
So our Tosfos, does our Tosfos really answer the kasha? Not exactly. In fact, not at all. Our Tosfos says, oh, the maskana of our Gemara is that even though it's l'shrurei mana, right? The Gemara is not saying it's not l'shrurei mana. Your kavana really is to harden it, but still, there's an iser on Shabbos, and still by bishul akum, it's mutter, right? It's not bishul akum, but Tosfos doesn't explain why. Right? Our Tosfos just says, by the way, don't read the Gemara like the conclusion of the Gemara is that your kavana is not to harden the stick, because I know from Avodah Zarah that the conclusion is to harden the stick. But, right, why it is an Isser Bishul on Shabbos, but it's not called Bishul Akum, that issue is not addressed by Tosfos in Shabbos 74. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. What does Tosfos in Avodah Zarah say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? Hard to know. Now, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah uses a lashon. Ready? You could look it up. Tosfos calls it Bishul Kitsas or Bishul Garua. No? That somehow there is cooking going on. Again, I'm going to use stick just because it's easier. But for the Rif, Rambam, etc., probably means a shard. But the bishul that's going on is what I would call lousy bishul, or immature bishul, bishul ktsas or bishul garua. But it is bishul. So for some reason on Shabbos, I'm chayiv on bishul ktsas, but by bishul akum, I am not chayiv, or it's not called bishul akum when the goy does bishul ktsas. When you put a stick into the fire to harden the stick, there is bishul kitsas going on. And on Shabbos, that's a big problem. Bishul kitsas is really bad on Shabbos. But by bishul akum, bishul kitsas is nishtaz ha'geferlach. It's not so bad. And the question is pachimu, which is Russian for why. Yes?
Isn't bishul akum rabbanon?
Yes, speak to me.
Why are we trying to about
how
to raise a
bishul
from
the Jerubanum? Good. You're smoking. Smoking is also a type of bishul. Right? In other words, yes. Right? It could be that bishul akum is Jerubanum. And Chazal, when they instituted the Isser of bishul akum, they did not institute it when the goy does a tiny bit of bishul. The bishul ktsas is not significant for bishul akum purposes, but it is significant for the da'iraisa bishul of Shabbos purposes. Right? I think that's what you're suggesting?
It's part of it. It's more. There's two parts. First of all, like they're completely different purposes for it. Like bishul akum is for not being eating with goyim, and
okay.
Kasha is one of the two. Remember which? And Shabbos is not something that the rabbis made up.
Right.
Decreed.
It's in that service at Dibros. Like we heard it from the Rabbi Shalom himself. Yeah.
The second part of it is, I don't understand. Since the rabbis were talking.
Okay, so here's the thing. Usually we have a principle that called the Tikkun Rabban and the Raisa Tikkun. That when the rabbis don't make up things in the air, the rabbis take a din d'oraisa and they extend it or they apply it. So there is something min ha-Torah called bishul for Shabbos. By the way, bishul, if I want to give a full shiur about bishul, there's a few dinim d'oraisa where the word bishul applies, no? Where else is bishul a category min ha-Torah? Lo tevashu gedi b'chalev imo. Bishul by basar b'chalev is a din d'oraisa. Where else? By carbon pesach. Al toichlu mimenu na uvashel mevushal b'mayim. No? Balkore, where else is bishul in the Torah? I have to think myself. I'm not sure. Okay, I don't know. But we have so far three examples of deraisas in bishul. And when Chazal instituted the Din D'Rabbanan bishul akum, they're probably borrowing the musag of bishul that I know elsewhere. Now, this is assuming, by the way, that bishul means the same thing in all the places where it is in the Torah. And that's already for, you know, advanced Talmud. Like the first year I give, I teach Basar B'Cholov. It's about bishul Basar B'Cholov and whether or what is its relationship to bishul for Shabbos. Is it exactly the same or not? But that's... No, the Pashtus is the same. Halak. No comment. Okay, so again, so Tosfos in Avodah Zarah says that bishul with a twig is considered bishul kitsas, and because it's bishul kitsas, so therefore it's only usher by Shabbos, not by Bishulei Akum. Good. It could be that the hesber of this is as follows. What's the nature of the Isser Bishul Akum? Ben was getting at this a few minutes ago. Why did Chazal say that you shouldn't eat? By the way, Bishul Akum does not mean cannibalism in halacha. Right? Doesn't mean this is Rabbi Raps, like great chiddush in life. Bishul Akum, right, means a guy cooks food for you. You're not allowed to eat it. Why? Why is the food treif? So you said?
I said two reasons. One of them was that we're not supposed to hang out with them so much.
One is that we're not supposed to hang out with them. Why not? Intermarriage. Mishum chasnus. There are many isurim in Avodah Zarah that are because of intermarriage, right? That Jews are supposed to marry goyim. It's kind of funny, by the way, that there are so many isurim de rabbanon to intermarriage when the pashtus in the psukim in the Torah is that the Isser of intermarriage, lo sischatein bum, is only on the Zion Amamem. No? If you read the Pesukim, did you ever notice this, Gershon? You read the Pesukim in the Torah, the Torah has this, Ebn Ezra Simon Chaf Gimel, Chaf, Ezra Simon Yotess, I'm sorry, the Torah has this, but in the Torah, the Isser of intermarriage is only on the Zion Amamem. Nonetheless, there is so many Isurim de Rabbonon unto intermarriage. Right? It's a little strange. Or maybe it's Megala that the Isser of intermarriage applies to all nations, even though the Torah only says about the Zayin Amamin. But one reason for the Isser Bishul Akum, which is the standard reason, the Balei HaTosfos have this reason, etc., is that if a guy cooks, you might marry the guy's daughter. Another reason for Bishul Akum is Rashi's Shita in Avodah Zarah Lamed Ches, that the Isser Bishul Akum is because we're worried Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei. If a guy's going to cook the food, the guy is going to say, oh, by the way, I know this recipe. A little bit of chazer really makes it taste much better, no? Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei, maybe the guy's going to add some tarifas. But that Rashi is a collector's item. We'll come back to it, I hope, in a few minutes. But the Pashtus is that Bishul Akum is based on Chasnos. Yes, sir.
Is there the third reason is like Timtum Halev?
So Timtum Halev is probably an extension of the second, of the first reason, of the Baal HaTaisis reason. Timtum Halev is something that happens whenever I eat trade food. So it has a certain impact on my neshama. the medrash that the Darkei Moshe quotes in Siman Pei Aleph is that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to nurse from the mitzrios, right? Because pesha asu ladaber im hashchina yinach davar tameh. If you're going to speak to Rabbeinu Shalom, you can't have tarfis in you. And alpi hibijibi, the assumption is that you can never be kolayt Torah if you have tarfis in your body. There's a degree of kedusha that comes from what we ingest. No? The food that I eat gives me the koyach to do mitzvos. And if it comes from what the Alter Rebbe calls in Tanya, the gimel klipos hatemeos, eh? There are certain things which are klipas noga. And if you learn Tanya, oh my God.
That's safer.
Huh?
That's where we should start.
We should do Tanya. Tanya's so hard. I love teaching Tanya. I'm Amish, I would. There are a few things I enjoy more than Tanya. It's unbelievable. I'm weird! Admit it! Okay, not a problem. Rabbi Weider would never want to teach Tanya in Shir.
Never true.
Huh? Never in a million years. But basically, the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya that certain things are pure Tumah, certain things come from real Tumah aspects, and they can never be elevated to purpose to points of Kedusha. Most of the world is not like that. Most of the world is called Klipas Noiga, which is what we would call a Dvar HaRashos. And if I do a Dvar HaRashos with Kavana to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, it becomes a mitzvah. When I do a Dvar HaRashos with Kavana to do Averos, it becomes an Avera itself. But that's like the Yisod of Tanya. The idea of Timtum Halev is because Macholos Asuras comes from the Gimel Kalipos Timaeos, and consequently they can't be elevated. But let's go weiter. Bishal Akum is usher majority opinion because Shama, because maybe Lo Tischat in Bam. It's an Isser of Chasnus. Memela, what's the nature of the Isser of Chasnus? The Isser of Chasnus means as follows. If a guy is going to cook a meal for me, and say, Schwartz, come over, I'm making you dinner, it's going to be geshmak of food. By the way, everything will be kosher, badatz, everything badatz. I'm going to cook you a meal. So you're going to be so excited that the guy's cooking you a gewaltika meal that you're going to marry his daughter. Right? But that makes sense. Again, by the way, it makes sense on a certain level. Like when you date, you often go out to eat. Food, it does have a way of leading to kirav hadas. When you eat together with somebody, you don't eat, even in the calf, you don't eat with people who you hate. No? You look for a table with people who you like and you can schmooze with. Is that correct? That's what it was when I was in college. I think it's probably still the same. So because the Isser of Chasnus, or because the reason behind Bishul Akum is Chasnus, so Memela, if I have a Kavana Mishni, I have a second level Kavana, so that would not be subject to the rule of a Bishul Akum. The rule of Bishul Akum is that Chazal are worried that the guy is going to do something, will cook food for you, and that's going to lead you to say, wow, you went out of your way, your mamish cooked a meal for you, there's going to lead to Kirav Hadas, and that might lead to intermarriage. But if the guy is not doing it for me, the guy is doing it as like a backhanded kavana mishni, like a secondary kavana, it's not my primary intention, so then that's not going to lead to chasnas, no? I'm not going to feel any affinity, any closeness to somebody who just happens, you know, to do a teeny bit of bishul because it just came up a teeny bit. Yes?
You can also say that it's much easier that it's not food. So,
That's another mahalach in the Gemara. I want to get, that's the way Rashi and Avodah Zarah learns. I want to talk about that in 6 minutes, but I'm not there yet. Okay? So what we're doing is the first mahalach, which is a hesber of the Taisus and Avodah Zarah. The Ritva by us seems to say this as well. The Ritva in Avodah Zarah says it. The Ra'ah in Avodah Zarah says it. I think it's a mainstream mahalach in Rishonim. Is that there, Avada, there is Bishol on the twig.
However, it's not the type of bishul that's going to be asur by bishul akum, because by bishul akum, I only asur bishul when you have kavana levashel, because only kavana levashel will lead to chasnos. There is another way of saying this, which may or may not be the same. Va'afarej. If you look at the Ramban over here, on Shabbos, Ayin Dalet, was the Ramban right?
Psikresha.
No? The Ramban writes that when I throw that twig into the fire to dry it up, my real kavan is to dry it. Yes, there is bishul that goes into it also, but that bishul is a psikresha. The Ritva and the Tosis in Avodah Zarah, they don't say psikresha, they use a lashon like it's bishul garuha. Again, it could be it's the same thing, but it's also very possible that they're different. The psikresha mahalach means that the bishul that takes place on the stick, which might mean, and for argument's sake, it means that you're cooking the water out of the stick in order to harden the stick. That is a psikresha. It's an inevitable consequence, but it is not intended bichlal. And one would say that on Shabbos, I aser psikresha. But by bishul akum, I don't aser psikresha. Why would that be? We'll talk about it after Ben's question.
Is he saying that all bishul is just psikresha?
No. All bishul means, like, let's say I cook a chalent. My kavan is to cook the chalent, and I cook the chalent. That's mamish a ma'isa bishul. That's not psikresha. Psikresha means I do action A. Action B occurs inevitably. No, that's what I'm doing. I'm cooking. You ask, okay, remember this TV show Family Feud? 99 people surveyed. Top 5 answers on the board. Ask 99 people on the street. When I put food in the oven, what am I doing? They would say, you are cooking.
When I play in the kiln, what am I doing?
I am hardening it. Again, maybe the clay in the kiln is different than the stick. Right? But the stick, my kavan is I want hard wood. Why do I want hard wood? Because hard wood I could use in my fireplace later on. I could use hard wood, ichveis, to hold things together. It's better to build with. Wet wood is not gishmak. Hard wood is. I'm hardening wood. It happens that in order to harden wood, inevitably you have to have some bishul to get there. That's called psikresha. That's what the Ramban writes. That's psikresha. Psikresha, it could be, it is mutter on bishul akum, but it's usur by Shabbos. And there are two possible ways of explaining this. The Egle Tal says something which I don't think is the Pashtus. The Egle Tal develops an idea. You know, there's a whole big machlekes harishainim about whether psikresha is usur by isurim derabbanan. No? Taisis on Daf Kuf Gimel here in Shabbos is going to discuss that. If a person intends to, right, the halacha is that a hadas is only going to be kosher if you have more leaves than berries on the hadas. If you have more berries than the leaves, it is going to be a pasul hadas. Let's say somebody picks the berries off the hadas to eat the berries. There's a psikresha that it becomes kosher as a hadas now, and now I can use it as a hadas. The iser involved in this, the iser of making a hadas kosher, is a spiritual iser. It's spiritual makiv patish. And spiritual makiv patish is only makiv patish midrabbanan, it's not makiv patish min ha-Torah. Makiv patish min ha-Torah means I finish a keli, no? Makiv patish on a spiritual sort of way is only also midrabbanan. Taisus comments that psik resha on isurim derabbanan, again, at least one opinion in Tosis, and there's two opinions in the Magen Avraham in Shin Yud Daled Sukkot and Hay. But it could be that psik resha is only usur by isurim deiraisa. By isurim derabbanan, we could say psik resha is mutter. And the Egle Tal, based on this, explains the Ramban. He says that when the Ramban says that it's a psik resha when you're cooking the water out of the twig, it's a psik resha and a hanami. How come it's mutter by Bishul Akum? How come it's usher by Shabbos? Answer is that Shabbos is an isur d'oraisa. Psik resha is usher an isur d'oraisa. Bishul Akum is an isur d'rabbanan. Psik resha is mutter an isurim d'rabbanan. That's the chap of the Egle Tal. It's really creative. No? It's mamish, very creative. Sir, rebuttal.
Does that mean that
Tefillas Kelim
on Shabbos is only
Asur Midrabanan? To be Tefillas Kelim is only Asur Midrabanan. That's correct. Absolutely correct. In fact, because the Isra is only an Isra Midrabanan, that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, an Eitzah to how to Tefillas Kelim. Let's say you're at a Shabbos meal, and the Kelim wasn't Tefillas yet. What do you do? So Shulchan Aruch prays, there's an Eitzah to Tefillas Kelim on Shabbos. You go to the mikveh, and you fill the keli up with water, and you take a drink. You're tivaling the keli, but it doesn't look like you're tivaling the keli, because you just filled it up with water, no? So that's mutter. Because since the iser of tivaling kelim is only derabbanan, the makom hatsorah, when it doesn't look like I'm doing that iser, so we're makel. That's beferish and shulchan aruch. Beferish and shulchan aruch. I tell you this, I was the rabbi for Shom Washington Heights for a while, so my shul had an Eruv. I was the Eruv Rav. I was in charge of the Eruv. And the Breuer's Kehila doesn't hold to the Eruv. But my community held to the Eruv. So one time someone comes into my office, he's mamish furious at me. He's like, because you hold to the Eruv, the people mamish doing a terrible Avera. What's that Avera? He saw people carrying Kalim to the mikvah on Shabbos to Tavon. The kelim in the mikvah on Shabbos. I'm like, listen, you're right. They probably should not be toivling kelim in the mikvah on Shabbos, but you have to dam the kav schus. Maybe it was this case, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that they needed to use the kelim, and they're filling it up, and they're taking a drink of the mikvah water. It's kind of disgusting. But yeah, it could be. No? Could be. Another nami. Yeah.
That settled the guy down.
Not so much, no.
Do we pass in that
Psik Resha
and
Darabanan
is always mutter?
So do we pass Psik Resha and Darabanan is always mutter? The Magen Avraham is Machmir Natu. The Pashtus is that the Ramah is Machmir Natu. I heard the only conversation I ever had in my life where Moshe Feinstein's a parental of Rav had a next door neighbor named Reb Tuvia Goldstein. Reb Tuvia Goldstein had a small yeshiva on the Lower East Side and in Brooklyn called Emek Halacha. He was the guy that whenever Moshe had to write a tshuva, he wanted a Talmud Chacham to speak it over with. So we bring Reb Tuvia Goldstein in, who is Reb Moshe's next door neighbor. He was a very big Talmud Chacham, not like Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe was like, whatever. But the Mishnah in Avos writes that one of the Dvarim Shatorah Niknes Bahem is Siach Haverim, Dibuk Haverim, like speaking the Torah out with people. Reb Moshe, before he write a tshuva, he'd speak to Reb Tuvia Goldstein. So one time I see Reb Tuvia Goldstein at family simcha. So I was learning Shabbos, I guess, must have been like 23 years ago, or whatever it was. I was learning Shabbos in Rosh Chodesh Kollel, or my last year in college. And I see him at a family simcha, I was holding the sugya of Psik Resha. So I decided to speak with him about Psik Resha on Drabonans. So he was like, you know how sometimes old Jews have this way that they like hold your hand, which makes you feel like $1 million? You know, like, if I remember Shlomo Zalman Auerbach once, like, held my hand like that when I asked him a shot. You feel so good. So Reb Tuvia Goldstein, like, held my hand, and he's like, let me tell you, in Europe, the minig was that all the Morei Hora'a paskind, that Psik Resha on the Rabbanans is mutter, and that was the psak of Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, which is true, you know, our yeshiva, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan paskind, that Psik Resha on the Rabbanans is mutter, and this was a standard psak in Europe. This is what I heard from Reb Tovia Goldstein, Zichrono Livracha. In the Hakdama to the Shmira Shabbos Kehochasa, and he has like the volume of like the Klal. I mean, it used to be a separate volume, now it's like in the new Shmira Shabbos, it's like the introduction. So he points out there's huge stiras in the Mishnah Berurahs about Psik Reishas and Drabanans. In some places, the Mishnah Berurahs may go on Psik Reishas only if it's two Drabanans. Sometimes he's may go on a Psik Reishas and a Drabanan, B'makan Tsar. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah has like millions of stiras of Shlomo Zalman tries to figure it all out. It's a big kasha. But what I heard from Tovia Goldstein is that he was may go on Psik Reishas and Drabanans straight up. Your father is into these types of things. Like when you have a masoret and psak, when you heard something from a posek, right? One of the tainas that, it's interesting, you go through the Mishnah Brura, to the best of my knowledge, you never see the word shamati. No? The word shamati is a very important word. I heard from a posek. That's a very important word in Yiddishkeit, no? The Mishnah Brura is not written like that. It's a digest sefer. Oh. So the Eglei Tal Taina is that maybe the pshat in this distinction is because Psik Reishas is mutter under Rabbanans. That's already interesting. I'm not convinced that he's right. First of all, many Rishonim hope Psik Reishas is not mutter on Rabbanans in the categorical sort of way. And, you know, even within Tosfos on Kuf Gimel, there are different opinions. And you also have to figure out, is this a Psik Reishas the Nicholai or the Loi Nicholai, right? It's not Pashut, what the Eglei Tal says. I would rather say the same svara that we said a minute ago. That since the Isser of Bishulei Nachrim is based on Chasnus, so Psik Reishas doesn't lead to Chasnus. Again, Chasnus means I'm going to intermarry. Why am I going to intermarry? Because the guy made me mamish kesu'udas shlomo b'shaito. The guy made me such a wonderful meal, I have no choice but I'm going to marry his daughter. Right? That's what I'm going to do. But if the guy's bishul is a psik reisha type of bishul, so then it's not going to lead to Chasnus, because that's not his kavanah. So I would rather understand this Ramban the same as we're saying the Pshat and the Ritva and the Taisvis. Now this is actually very important. Rabbi Willig, in his Sefer Am Mordechai, on Shabbos, page 175. Did I put this on the Maamar Komus? I think I did. So Rabbi Willig deals with the following Shaila. What is considered Eish Min HaTorah? So Eish Min HaTorah has to be that you have real fire and it's burning. So the old incandescent bulbs, you know, the Thomas Edison bulbs, had a filament that would burn. Originally, Edison actually tried to experiment to use human hair. You should go to the museum in Menlo Park, New Jersey. It's right near West Orange. It's a good date place. Go to the Edison Museum. So Edison originally experimented using human hair as the filament. Later on, they used like some metal. But incandescent bulbs basically have metal that is burning. There's mamish and ash in there. Fluorescent bulbs, like what we have here in this room, don't work like that. A fluorescent bulb works that it's gas that is ignited. And once the gas is ignited, right, it shines. There is no filament. There's nothing burning in these lights right now. There's nothing burning. There is gas that was charged. And it's charged because when you turn the light on, there is a spark that goes for a second. Let's look at this one. There's like a spark. It goes for a second, and that ignites the gas, but then the spark stops. That's the way a fluorescent bulb works. Our fluorescent bulbs, we assume, are only also midrabbanan on Shabbos, because it's not really havara. That's the pashtus. But when I think about it, that's not so pashtus. Now,
This is true. My friend Josh Bluth pointed out to me, this is not true on all fluorescent bulbs now. Some fluorescent bulbs have what they call a starter, which means that there is a spark that ignites it. That's the type that Rabbi Willing is talking about. You can Google this little Torah after. Other fluorescent bulbs operate differently. LED bulbs operate without any fire. Kiluzet. But my kids are ma'asa. The old type of fluorescent bulbs, the fluorescent bulbs that we have here in this room, operate with a starter. Is turning on this bulb an iser derabbanan? Or do I assume it's an iser d'iraisa? In order for the bulb to glow, to burn, you need, you need a spark. The spark is a 1 second fire. Do I say that, you know what, since you need a 1 second fire, so therefore it is mamish, like the guy is lighting the fire, or the person who turns on the fluorescent bulb is mamish lighting a fire for a second, and therefore it's not really an iser derabbanan, it's an iser d'oraisa to turn it on. L'chaira, that's what I'd assume. But maybe it's not a full-fledged iser d'oraisa. Maybe it's really a psik resha. You see, sometimes I have a situation where something is inevitable, but it's something that is so belimis kavein that you could argue that it's not really called a psik resha. What am I doing? I'm turning on the light. That's what I'm doing. The fact that on a certain physical level, the physicist would say that it is ignited by a spark is something that nobody knows. And therefore, maybe it's not called a psik resha at all. Or maybe no, when a magdir psik resha, based on what happens in the world of physics. Says Rabbi Willig, this is the machlokas between the Ritva and the Ramban. The Ramban says, when it's shadi sechta la'atuna, when I throw that twig into the fire, that is a psik resha, according to the Ramban. Why? Because lemaisa, in order to get that twig hardened, you have to go through the process on the physical level of cooking water out. That's a psik resha, and therefore the fluorescent bulb would also be a psik resha. However, the Ritva says that's not called a psik resha. Psik resha means I do action A, I drag the bench. It's a heavy bench. Inevitably, something completely different happens. I make a hole, I make a furrow in the ground. But when I turn on the light, it's not that there are two separate things. It's one ma'isa that works based on an igniter. When I throw the twig into the oven, it's one ma'isa that works based on an igniter, no? Based on the water cooking out the twig. The Ritva says it's not called a psik resha. That's called kavana mishni. Bishol garua, in the words of Taisvis. Bishol kitsas. You're doing it. Everybody knows you're doing it. You might not think about it on a regular basis. So this is a very important shayla. If you assume, which I think we do assume, that the old fluorescent bulbs operate with a spark, is it a psik resha? Or is it that it's a full-fledged ma'isa? The nafgamina is amiro l'nachri. Amiro l'nachri is a mutter on psik resha, as the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Can I ask a guy to turn on my fluorescent bulb? If the Ramban is right, says Rabbi Willig, that this is called a psik resha, you can ask the guy to do it. But if the Ritva is right, you can't ask the guy to do it, because you're asking the guy to do an iser d'oraisa. That's Rabbi Willig Shtickel Taira. Now, what Rabbi Willig is assuming is that the Ramban and the Ritva are disagreeing.
I am not convinced that the Ramban and the Ritva are disagreeing. In Ershtins, that means first of all, the Ritva writes that my Rebbe agrees with me. His Rebbe is Ramban. So the Ritva say the Ramban agrees. Whether the Ritva and the Ramban agree also should depend on the two Hezberim we gave in the Ramban. If the Eglintal is right, that the Ramban is Mekho on Psik Resha, because on all the Rabbanot on Mekho on Psik Resha, so then the Ramban is saying something totally different than the Ritva said. But if the oneness of the Ramban is that on Mekho on Psik Resha, because Vishal Akum is based on Chasmus Kibra Padas, and there's no Kibra Padas on the Psik Resha, so that's exactly the same story that the Ritva said. Just using slightly different discussions. So it seems to me that what Rabbi Willig is making as a big machlokas harishonim is not so pashut. It also seems to me that I planned on finishing the sugya today, but I didn't. Okay, we should have a mincha.